short and informative show that'll teach you something new about Silver Lake. Today, we interview our returning guest, Jesse Liberty. Let's listen to the interview now.
Eric, it is an ongoing pleasure.
Today, I'm hoping you can tell us a little bit about the Silverlight Toolkit. Maybe we could start with, what is it?
The Silverlight Toolkit is an effort that was undertaken by Sean Burke and a number of extraordinary programmers to create additional controls for Silverlight in a very aggressive and very responsive way, almost out of band, in the sense that they're being released very quickly and not tied to releases of Silverlight. They've done a number of innovative things. One thing that they've done is that they've created a concept of quality bands. Yes, although actually even the ones that are in preview quality band I find really ready to use, but they do have this concept of various quality bands. They have four quality bands, preview and stable and so on, where they're giving you a heads up as to, you know, effectively these are beta or these are really ready to ship. And there is a form that is integrated back into Silverlight.net, a dedicated forum where folks can give feedback and can give bug reports and can make requests. And what's also very interesting and exciting is that people can vote on these. Not only vote on the request, but vote on which things should be fixed, which things should be fixed first, which are most important. And these votes are having a direct impact on how the team is setting its priorities for what gets done first. So it's very, very interactive with the community. No. You always start with Silverlight.net. Now, it turns out that we have a forum dedicated to the Silverlight Toolkit. Silverlight.net is my grounding, my starting point. And there's a menu across the top on the far right that says Forums. And within that, there are a number of pieces of that forum. And you should be able to navigate, certainly, to the support forum for the toolkit. Certainly another way to get there would be, as you began to suggest, that you can go to the toolkit home, which is codeplex.com/silverlight, and from there you can get to the Silverlight Toolkit forum, which will take you right back to us, silverlight.net/forums/35.aspx. So you can see they are intimately connected. And under that, you'll find that there are various threads on the different toolkit pieces and on people's suggestions and how the voting works and so forth. One thing I will point out that makes this particularly effective is that the members of the Silverlight Toolkit Development Group are all participating here. And so there's a great responsiveness here. Ah, good. I thought you'd never ask. The toolkit is really an extraordinary group of controls. I would say that they break into, and these are really my arbitrary classifications, but they break into, I would say, enhanced controls that extend what you can do with Silverlight or simplify your work or provide enhanced abilities. So we have tree view controls, numeric up-down controls, auto-complete box controls, expander controls, And these provide the kinds of controls that you might have either created custom controls for yourself or bought from a third party. And they're very, very powerful. And what's nice is that they have uniform idioms where possible. So once you learn one, very often you find that others are very, very similar to use. And I've been trying to build blog entries and videos that show that. We also have a whole set of charting controls. As far as I know, we are the only platform that is giving away a suite of charting controls. And these are really beginning to provide a great deal of utility. So we have a pie chart control, a bar control, a column control, and one that I'd like to come back to, bubble control, which is very interesting. There are some docking controls. The dock panel control is particularly exciting because it fills in a missing piece that exists in WPF, did not exist in Silverlight. Certainly you can build Silverlight without it, but it provides a great deal of flexibility for placement. Yes, exactly. So those fit into sort of what I would call placement controls. And then there's a whole set of themes which give you a start on creating a uniform look and feel for your application, and they've been adding to the themes. I have a short blog entry on that as well. In addition to all of that, there is a great deal of support provided. The first line of support is certainly on their main site, their CodePlex site, which includes initial documentation plus blogs from every member of the team, some of which really go very, very deep. In addition, they have more or less contracted with me. That is to say, I get to do a lot of work and I don't get any extra pay. But I have agreed to do a couple videos and a couple blog entries every week. And what I'm doing is trying to fill the niche for folks who are perhaps newer to Silverlight, newer to the toolkit, and taking that perspective of not having been immersed in it and explaining things a little bit more a step at a time with fewer assumptions about what you already know, so as to make sure that you're able to enter the toolkit at any stage and make use of each aspect of it. And then I think you can turn to some of the features that are in the team member blogs. Jeff Wilcox, I will call out. It's very unfair to the others. I happen to have read some of his entries. I'm sure that many of the others have equally stunning entries. He has written a couple blog entries that are just blow your door off entries of how you can take these controls, combine them with others, and create amazing effects. But they do assume a certain amount of familiarity, not only with the controls, but also with Silverlight and with .NET and with C# and so forth, for the programmer who is yearning to go beyond the fundamentals. That is a great resource for the programmer who reads that and says, what? They can go back to our videos and my blog entries and start from the beginning, step by step. Right, exactly.
Now, one sort of interesting thing to me is that this very much appeals to a couple of different kinds of programmers. One would be a programmer who is starting with Silverlight and just needs, say, a charting control or an expander or something. They just reach in and use that control. But then the other sort of class of programmers maybe who would use this would be people looking to make their own controls and they want to find ideas for how to do this. And I can't remember if we said this, but I think the source is open, right?
Yes, it's a very interesting approach to open source, and you have touched on something that very few people have pointed out, which is that not only is it open source in the sense that you can extend it, and I want to come right back to that, but you can also use these as a learning tool for building your own custom controls in terms of how to approach writing custom controls, how to approach writing custom controls that can be templated, can be fitted into best practices, and so forth. And that's a really powerful point. But let's talk about the way that these have been licensed and how they've been opened up, which is to say that they are under Microsoft's public license and you are free to take them, use them, change them, use the changes in a commercial application. However, in order to manage the combinatorial explosion of all of these changes and have a reliable toolkit, the decision was made that the changes will not be folded back into the toolkit. And at first glance, you say, well, you know, why? You know, there could be some great innovation there. But on second thought, it makes a great deal of sense because it allows the team to continue to move forward without having to constantly test and retest and regression test all of the changes the community is making. Now, if someone, of course, comes up with a great innovation, that can certainly go into the suggestion pool, be voted on, and so forth. But the license allows you to change it for your own purposes, but does not suggest that we will then bring it back in. And any of us who have lived through the early RBBS experience just cheer this instantly. Of course, I have now dated myself to a point that is just frightening. So the Silverlight Toolkit is shockingly open in the sense that you can use it, you can modify it, you can put it into your own programs. The source code is there. You can change that in any way you want, template it, modify it. But you know that when you download the latest release of the Silverlight Toolkit, what you will be getting will have been validated within Microsoft, and the modifications that happened from other folks happened separately and were not folded back in unless they were voted in and then became part of the process and tested within Microsoft. And that's outside of the normal process. I think that's right. And I should say that just looking at their site, the number of people who are downloading and the reviews that they're getting are stunning. I mean, the numbers here are just phenomenal. So people are really responding to this, I think, for a number of reasons. One is there's a felt need for these controls to extend Silverlight to do the kind of line of business applications that people want. Secondly is exactly what you're saying, which is that it helps take the programmer who wants to go beyond the basics and provides a set of examples and best practices. And the third is that they did such a good job with this and that they are on a very rapid development cycle of issuing new releases very frequently, and those releases are very high quality.
Outstanding, yeah. Well, anytime something is free and of high quality, boy, I sure can.
I love that combination, don't you? That's a good combination.
Jesse, thank you for being on the show once again.
Like I say, it's always a blast, Eric. Thank you so much.